Well, good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's
hey, Rob. Hi, Rob. We're all here.
Yes.
Matt's not here. Matt's sick.
Uh-oh.
Nope, all good. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you. How are you all doing? Huh?
How you doing?
Doing great.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, aren't you good? Well, your homework, for one thing. Before I get to the homework, what's on your mind?
No, we've had a good week with bringing assets in. So.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's real good.
Again, nothing tremendous, but a lot of hundreds, 250s, 500s. Thousands, so stuff like that. So we're grinding it out with that with existing clients.
Anything related to Supernova?
So this is Michelle. I'm kind of stumbling over my words when I talk to the clients about Supernova and the process. Can you just go over once more that speech, because I got to do it tonight and tomorrow.
Sure.
Printing out the mini me folder.
Okay, sure. So keep in mind, okay, so what are you doing? You're establishing the rationale for the call. So first you establish that there was a problem. The second thing is you establish what it is that you're going to deliver to them. And you're going to deliver three things: multi-generational planning, 1242, and rapid response to their problems. And then you finish by, how does that sound? So the exact words, which are important, but I think if you can understand the flow, it'll help you with the words. The problem, the good news is that we have grown. The challenge is that with that growth, we were worried about consistently delivering a remarkable client experience. So because of our growth and this challenge that we had, we hired a consultant to look at our practice. And what we came to the conclusion was that we needed to have a more consistent client experience. So this is what we are committing to. Every client we'll get multi-generational planning, and we'll deliver that planning experience through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of those in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? Now, if you're going to see a prospect, you simply say, how does that compare to what you're getting now?
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Yeah, and the words are very powerful. And I mean, each word is important in the order and the almost the cadence of it.
I was kind of focusing more on, we've kind of not separated our book, but we're starting to focus now on our more important clients. So however I said it, but that's nowhere in what you just said. So I'll change the way I'm saying it.
Yeah, it's just important. And, you know, people leave out the rapid response, and I don't think you should. I think it's very powerful. And you can deliver that. You're delivering it now. You answer the phone.
We've been delivering it. We just haven't been telling clients we deliver.
Right. And you haven't been getting credit for it.
Right.
So, and you know, I got up on the stage one time, gave my little talk, and then another guy followed me and he said, you know, I would never do that. Guarantee 1242 and rapid response to the problems. I think that's way too risky. Because what if I couldn't do it? This was a professional speaker, a professional guy in our industry. And I don't know why he was doing that, but it made a big impact on me. And I said, now that's the reason Supernova works. You see, because the average person doesn't have the courage to commit to something like that because they don't have the confidence that they can follow through on it. So just think about what that means then. So when you tell a client that, it says, I am courageous and I'm confident. And what do they want from you? They want you to be confident. They want you to be competent, but they also want you to be confident because oftentimes they're not. And so they're drawn to confidence. So when you stand up and say, this is what we do for every client, people will be like, wow. If you wonder why you get the wow, it's because you're committing to being held accountable for a trust situation. We build trust by doing what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. We break trust when we don't. So we break big trust when we violate a relationship in one way or another, but every day we break little trust when we're late. We arrive 10 minutes late for an appointment and we didn't call. That's a small break in a trust. Now, we talk about the bank of trust. We make little deposits in the bank of trust every time we do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it. And then we break those trusts whenever we don't. Now, the idea is that you have many more deposits than you have withdrawals. So every time you do a 12-4-2, you're making a deposit in the bank of trust. So that gives you the leverage of knowing that if something goes wrong, stock goes down, something doesn't work out the way it should, you're not going to lose the relationship because you've committed to a trusting relationship. Okay, it's a different thing, and it makes you very different in the market. And you'll hear people say that. I could not do that. You know, I couldn't do that. How can you do a 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution? Oh, my God. But in reality, you're doing it anyway. And people understand if you're sick or you go on vacation or you have a situation, just as long as you call and let them know. That's the key. Okay. So let's get to our homework. And that was build folders for 20 prospects each, center of influence, niches, and continue to do the enthusiastically endorsed model. So how many built the folders for their prospects?
I think after our last call, we actually talked about who we might put on that list, but we have not built the folders quite yet because I think we're trying to think of what event we could do in the near future with them. But that was kind of the extent of our conversation last week.
We got the folders for the clients, but I don't think we're still putting together all the centers of influence, I think, and the different niches and the event.
Okay. So maybe it would have been better if I'd have told you to build one folder
for a
prospect. All right, so that's your homework for the new week. Build one folder for a prospect. And you don't have to have it a different color or anything. You can just take a folder and build one. Okay? I mean, it's nice if they're a different color. We usually typically have yellow folders for prospects. But you don't need that.
Okay. So that's going to be one folder per center of influence.
Yes, or one prospect.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, so build one for a center of influence and one for a prospect.
Okay.
Okay, build one. COI folder. One prospect folder. Part of it is getting, it's just doing this stuff, setting it up, doing it. And then you'll see the value of it as it appears. Now, when you do that, put them into there's a tab for centers of influence so that you can then put them into your scheduler and that appointment will appear, just like a client appointment will appear. Okay? So build the folder and put them into the scheduler.
Oh, and then right. Helped us figure out how to incorporate the names on the list into our Outlook calendar here. So we're good to go.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's big.
Really helpful.
Yeah, that's really big. Okay, so this week, what questions do you have in general? This is a really big week when it comes to kind of a transition from organization to acquisition, and I cover a ton in that video. Too much, really. But I put it all in there. So there's a lot to cover, because I cover niches, mastermind groups, 5 steps to building a niche mark, building a niche, et cetera. What questions do you have on acquisition, basically? Because we cover almost the whole thing in one chapter.
And I feel like we're doing great on acquisition. You know, we haven't really said what our niche is, but in general, just kind of organic growth within the book. So far, even in January, it's been pretty positive. So,
would you say that's cause and effect, or action reaction, or just happenstance?
You know, it's a lot of these touches. So is that BA?
Okay, I'm saying.
People want to focus on in January and not December.
We've had a lot of meetings with clients.
Yeah.
And I think that's helped us.
Resetting goals and things like that.
Okay. Good.
That's what I feel.
Yeah, I think as in regards to the video, I think everything was pretty self-explanatory and made sense.
Well, I mean, just as you've asked for, you know, a detail, exactly how the words should work, each one of these tools that we use for acquisition, each one is got a whole chapter to it and is devoted to it in the Supernova Multiplier, the second book I wrote, and with examples by teams that are using those tools, with the words that you can use to share how to, you know, what do you do exactly? When you want to develop a new niche, how do you do that? How do you do it when you want to become a board member in a community, in community affiliation? Where do you start? How do you do that? So there's one chapter devoted to each of those. I also have videos. I've got webinars on the website for each of these tools also. So there's a lot of information to cover, especially if you get like excited about centers of influence. There's a lot to read and a lot to listen to. So you can do a lot more homework than just the chapter and the video that you saw. There's a lot more, you know, we've got 12 years of work on each. on all this, these acquisition tools just since we've started coaching, you know, and we brought a lot to the table in the first book, The Supernova Advisor, which was written in 2006, published in 07. So, you know, there's a lot going on here, and I want you to kind of engage in these tools. You don't have to do them all, but when you, you know, when you read about one and say, hey, I really want to do that. That looks great. I want to develop that. Then there's a lot to discuss on exactly how you do it. Go ahead.
When I went onto a webinar, it asked for a credit card payment though, and I was logged in with our password.
No, that shouldn't. And you were logged in with your password, and they still went at a
same password.
Ugh. All right, I'll call Cindy and find out what happened.
Okay, thank
you. Hey, Rob, I have a question about the client folders. So the first insight page is the page that basically is all about the client information. Is everybody handing them out blank and letting the client fill all that information in, or how is that handled?
Anytime you want information from the client, it's always best to get it yourself. I know it doesn't sound like the most efficient thing in the world, but clients appreciate the fact that they're sharing confidential information and want it to be with you. So my suggestion is that you do it either over the phone or in person and get that information. Now, a lot of it you can fill in ahead of time, but if there's stuff that you want to discuss with them, then you can fill it, you know. But I'd fill in as much as you can before you give it to them.
Okay.
And then, but a lot of it's for you. You know, if you've done a financial plan and gathered all that information, that you can use in a conjunction with this and have an awful lot. If there's something that we recommend that you have that's not covered by your financial planning process, then, you know, use our tool supplementing yours. But I think that it's a good question, and it is it's a very personal thing to share confidential information.
Yeah, but it's in their folder.
Right, right.
It's almost odd piece to put in there, or is it the power of it giving it to them and having a few blanks on there and them having a need to make sure that you have that information?
Sure, yeah. You want it to be in your folder and their folder. You want all that information, obviously, for yourself, too. But it's, you know, you combine that with the enthusiastically endorsed list of all their advisors and people that they count on and enthusiastically endorse or don't. That's a incredibly valuable tool for you and for them. And you can put their phone numbers right in there with that, and they've got a ready reference to people that they need to get in touch with. And God forbid something would happen to them. A child could just look on that and see it and know who to call for everything.
Right.
What else in the folder? How about the introductions given and received?
Right.
Do you understand why that's a value?
I mean, doesn't that kind of go along with who they're writing as some of their enthusiastically endorsed writers? Like, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to use because people forget how they got to where they are. Sometimes they forget that they were introduced by somebody else. and they forgot who they introduced to you. So it's a great way of reminding them. And then we recommend, as a passive way to prospect, it's not active, it's not direct, but to put the date down when the account was opened, and then use that date as a reminder and give them a phone call and thank them for trusting you enough to introduce their friend, and then call the friend that you now have as an account and thank them for having the confidence to maintain their relationship. So you're thanking two people on that day, and one of them has a much higher probability of giving you another introduction if you call than if you don't call.
Okay.
So you're just raising the odds of somebody randomly giving you an introduction. And you don't have to ask. You can. You could always say, hey, just to remind you, you know, we're open for business. Or don't keep us a secret. Or if you know somebody, we'd love to talk to them because we love doing business with you. You're just the kind of wonderful folks we appreciate. Whatever. You know, it can be very, very light. Doesn't have to be a hammer. Or it could be just a thank you. But that's a really good idea, and no one does it. No one. Okay?
Right.
Good idea.
Yeah, always. You know, when I was in the Navy, I learned a good lesson before I became an officer. You go in as a, you know, indoc battalion, you go in basically as an enlisted man until you become an officer, and they put you through indoctrination. And they treat you like, you know, scum. So you have to do all these terrible jobs. And there are some jobs that are worse than others. And I found that if you volunteer for the worst job, it's generally not that bad, and everybody leaves you alone. So you do what nobody wants to do, and you'd be surprised how well it works out. Somebody needs to clean, you know, bathrooms. I volunteered to clean bathrooms. Nobody messed with me. I cleaned the bathroom. I could spend hours in there. And nobody would harass me. And if you've ever been through Navy indoctrination, anytime you're not busy, they're harassing you. So that taught me to volunteer for terrible jobs, and people will then leave you alone. Or in the case of, as I matured in the Navy, I became the admin officer, the person that was dealing with all the paperwork, figuring that everybody would, you know, everybody hated that job. I volunteered. It was a great job because I became in charge of everything. Everybody had to get their reports into me. And so I found out it was kind of the opposite. So in this case, do something that no one else wants to do, and you'd be surprised how well it works out. No one wants to send notes. No one wants to thank people. Nobody wants to do the things that we should do. And if you do them, people will think you're wonderful. Anyway, long story, sorry.
Yeah, I've actually had some good experience. I've started the after meeting summary and sending an email to the clients. And I've gotten, you know, almost everybody responded, and, you know, very nicely. So I actually like that. I put that in place right away.
Brilliant. Yeah, I didn't think people would do it. I thought it was going to be too hard, too time-consuming. But then I had a couple of teams. I had one team in particular that said, oh, yeah, we do this all the time. I said, how does it work out? Oh, it's fabulous. I said, well, okay, we'll try it. So we tried it with some teams. They liked it. They had time for it, so we made it a best practice. So, you know, terrific.
We got to make the notes anyway. This way I just do the email and then move the email into the notes, so it's not like double work, really.
Well, yeah, because you've got, you know, today they're making you do this stuff because it's so important for compliance purposes. And, you know, it didn't used to be. It used to be pretty cutting edge. But now you're right. Since they make you do it anyway, you might as well get credit for it. And it really takes the burden off of the client to remember everything. And as you know, clients that get up in their 80s, they don't always remember everything. So, and our clients are getting older these days. So it's a wonderful thing. It's kind of like the personal note. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, you know. Personal notes in the mail are wonderful, but email's fine. It's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Okay. I will check on see what the problem is with the because I want you to watch those webinars. They're, you know, I think they're, you know, what do I know? But I mean, I think they're good. We went to a lot of effort on each one of them, and heck, I want them used. So you should have access to everything on everything because you're part of the program. So as long as you hire me or one of my people, you get access to the website. So we want you to use that. Any other challenges, questions?
Still looking for those extra 4 hours in each day.
Yeah, that won't come for a while, but it will come. You'll start to get so that this is not hard. You'll find that the calls get pretty routine. They in many cases they get shorter, and you know, you don't have the 2 hour annual review. You don't have phone tag. You don't have procrastination. You don't have all the other insidious thieves of time. And if you're on the phone and you're busy, people will not interrupt you. So you eliminate the interruptions, which is an insidious thief of time. So that's kind of where you find part of the time. And then the time that your team finds, if you have fewer clients, which we really haven't been able to benefit from, everybody benefits from that. And oftentimes it's not the FA, but the support team that really benefits by fewer clients because somebody's talking to those people, and that's taken away time from you and your what you want done. So that's where the time, it will come. It'll get smoother, rituals get easier. What else?
I think I'm out of questions.
Okay.
Well,
I think I answered it. Got him, guy.
Okay. All right, back to Assault Mine.
Okay. One folder for a center of influence, one folder for a random prospect.
Okay.
Okay. That's the homework. Thanks.
All right, thanks, okay. Rob. Take care.
Rob,
thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.